Yaku, maker and creator of the devil. Swine merchant, your time is near at hand. Fuck with me and your time will be now. Soon, all devil's heads will roll, and new rivers shall flow through the cities created by the blood of Whitey.
Salam alaikum.
Salamikum bacon.
Palante, mi hermano.
Devil. Beast.
Power to the people. La lucha, la lucha, que somos mucha.
Look out.
Power to the people, honey.
What kind of original black man talk is that? Your presence here affects the mind of my people like a fever. You, Yaku, are the bearer of 9,999 diseases, evil, corrupt, pork chop eating brain.
Ladies and gentlemen, now the moment you've all been waiting for.
Unfortunately, no one can be told what the Matrix is. You have to see it for yourself. I will look for you. I will find you. And I will kill you.
You'll shoot your eye out, kid.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
Would you give me a hand with the bags?
Certainly. You take the blonde and I'll take the one in the tithing.
You're hit. You're bleeding, man.
I ain't got time to bleed.
You get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
I command you, as King of the Britons, to stand aside.
I move for no man.
You are now listening to a cinema to a cinema to a cinema.
Hey, yo, hey, welcome to the show, episode 107 of Cinema Crespedito is here. I'm your host, Chris Crespo, just hanging out as always. It's a wonderful weekend in January. What does that mean to you?
Probably garbage movies.
Garbage movies, yeah. Not necessarily. There's still all those Oscar movies
that
came out in December and are rolling around now.
Barely.
We just had the nominations out, so now all the movies are nominated for Best Picture.
Oh my God, we gotta go see him.
Yeah, they've all been re-released or expanded so people can check them out. That's Drew Skogburn. Drew. No, it's Drew. It's all good. Those are the Drew cheers. How's it going?
It's going.
All right. Good deal.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
What's up with you?
Chilling. Drinking a St. Bernardus triple.
You mean triple?
Yeah. Oh, shit. Drop my pen. Good thing I have space pen.
Space pen doesn't drop, does it, right? Because that's what makes a space pen. It hovers in the air like zero gravity.
Yeah, if you drop a space pen, it just hovers. It's like Neo in the Matrix. Yeah. That's why you can get them pretty cheap. Space pens, I think.
Sweet.
Here we go.
Space pen.
So welcome to the show. We appreciate it. If this is your first time downloading, hey, welcome. Thanks. I don't know how you found us, but you did. We're here. And you have 106 previous episodes to check out if you like, plus bonus episodes. We got those film schools, we got the Crespo discos, all the Dr. Drew's 2 cents. Got one of those coming up right around the corner. Drew, you ready?
No.
This week, this Wednesday.
Am I ever ready, Chris?
That's true. This Wednesday, we're doing the best of 2014 episode. So look forward to that this week, people. But right now we're doing 107. We have a new movie to talk about, at least for me. I saw one new movie. Drew saw a newer,
I saw an old movie.
And slightly older, but still kind of new movie. And, you know what?
And we both saw a kind of old movie.
It's Cinema Crespedito, so that means. Yeah. Yeah, we're going to talk about that one too in the second half of the show. It's going to tie into some other things we're going to talk about. Mm. Is that cryptic enough for your people? Did I say that right? Cryptic. This beer is hitting me already. I just had a few. Let me take another sip. It is 8% alcohol.
That quick. Lightweight Crespo over here.
Oh, it's so good. Oh, I wish I was lightweight. Lightweight as a lead balloon. How come those never... Never mind. So, here we go. We got movie news. We got Billy D's Death of the Movies. People emailing the show and tweeting us and Facebooking us and stuff. We got to talk about all the new movies coming out.
You got Facebooked?
We got Facebooked. We got a box office recap.
Yeah.
But before we do any of that, oops, need a sound engineer producer guy over here off the side doing stuff.
We have one. He's being lazy right now.
What? Where is he?
Lazy fuck.
Goddamn these people. Goddamn these people. Well, before we do any of that, it's time for Netflix and the pick of the week. For the entertainment that you see, it's time for the Netflix pick of the week. The Netflix instant pick of the week. And as you heard, it is that time. Netflix instant picks can be seen at chriscrespo.com every week. Last week was the something or other.
And the week before that.
Week before that was even better. Was last week Galaxy Quest? I think last week was Galaxy Quest.
Maybe.
I think so. And of course, it's the end of the month. So that means a bunch of movies are getting taken down. Zodiac getting taken down this week, people.
Better watch it before it gets taken down.
Better fucking watch it. Dread.
I might want to watch it before it gets taken down.
Might want to watch it. Dread is being taken down.
Well, that's a shame.
That's a damn shame.
That movie should be on Netflix all the time.
All the time. But some movies are coming up. They're adding a few, and one or two of them are even good.
Sweet.
So we'll add them to the randomizer, see if they make it. But first, we got to do today's pick, which hopefully will still be there in a week or two.
This one's from 2002, Chris.
2002!
Rated R.
What part of the world?
1 hour and 35 minutes.
Is it American? Is it Asian?
It's a comedy, drama, romance.
Is it from Norway? 2002 comedy, drama, romance, rated R, you say?
I'm going to say... Comedy,
drama, romance. That's a...
From 2002.
Crudromance.
PDL by PTA.
Oh, yeah, okay. Well, that kind of ties in weirdly, doesn't it? Yeah. Isn't that odd?
Yeah, it kind of is.
That is strange. So it's a randomizer, but yet all things flow according to the whims of the Great Magnet.
Yes, the Great Magnet.
That's a little Hunter S. Thompson for you. Yeah. Punch Drunk Love, the Punch Drunk's Loves.
PDL by PTA.
By the P.T. Andersons. Yeah. So to answer my question, what part of the world, that would be
America.
Hollywood, USA.
Yes.
Yeah.
America.
One of Sandler's better films, mostly because it's a Paul Thomas Anderson movie.
I was about to say mostly because it's not a Happy Madison production.
Because it's not a Happy Madison production, that is true. I love this movie. It's a great movie. It's kind of like an old school romantic kind of film, but done a little more. You know, it's with a P.T. Anderson style.
Yeah.
So it's like a modern...
And pudding.
And pudding. That was based on a real dude. A real dude pulled that off.
Really?
I don't know if it's the same company, but a whole, like, they had the semantics in there, in the way they give out their bonus points for the UPC codes. He like, found the, like, yogurt or pudding or whatever.
Cool.
And got himself a lifetime of free flyer miles.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
Pretty smart. It's a fantastic movie. I love this movie. I love everything about it. I love the way it's made. I love the way it looks, the way it sounds, the way it smells, the way it tastes. Perfect.
You smelled and tasted this movie?
If a movie's good enough, you smell and taste it, yes. You get to that sensory overload.
Do you have synesthesia, Chris?
Say that again, five times fast.
Synesthesia.
Right, that's
synesthesia.
Like you're blowing up people's speakers with those S's there. Maybe.
Okay.
So
I just wanted to make sure.
Adam Sandler is not, he's sort of doing his man-child thing, but it works. Philip Seymour Hoffman. Isn't it?
Yes, he is.
He did a whole bunch of Paul Thomas Anderson movies.
Yes, he did.
They worked together a bunch. And, he repurposes a song from Robert Altman's Popeye, which is funny.
Robert Altman's Popeye?
Yeah, that's how much he loves Robert Altman.
Weird.
He took a song from his Popeye movie and used it in Punch Drunk Love. And it works perfectly.
There we go.
It's pretty fantastic.
As long as it works. That's all that really matters.
Works great. It's pretty wonderful. So, Punch Drunk Love. Let me write that down with my space pen. Meanwhile, I saw something on the Netflix that it's not going to go in the randomizer, but I might as well talk about it. It's interesting enough. Some people might want to check it out. Automata, newer movie.
Oh, that with Antonio Banderas.
Antonio Banderas. He is in this movie. Okay, let me set the picture here. Dystopian future in which solar flares have fried the Earth.
Okay, solar flares.
Solar flares. All the oceans are all gone. They're all dried up.
Evaporated.
The communications are all screwy. So technology's at a weird place where some things are like future technology and other things are using beepers and shit.
Mm-hmm.
And they have... Oh, and the world's population was whittled down to 20 million people. Right?
That sounds like a good thing.
That does actually sound like pretty... Space. Some elbow room for once, right?
Mm-hmm.
So to help them all survive, they built these robots, helper robots, think like iRobot, okay? Mm-hmm. That's a big thing about this movie, just think about all the other movies that it's putting together, right? So you got a Blade Runner dystopian-type setting. You have Antonio Banderas plays a dispassioned corporate insurance claims adjuster for the robot company.
Okay.
So when people claim that their robot malfunctions, like, oh, my robot malfunctioned and killed our pet cat... He shows up and expects robots like, no, this thing is perfectly fine.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't do that. So
you killed your cat. You're sick fuck.
Yeah, something like that. So he's like a, you know, sort of like an insurance version of a Blade Runner.
Okay.
And then what happens is these robots, like the iRobots, there's two protocols. The first protocol is they can't harm a human or mm-hmm. anything living. Second one is they can't fix themselves. Or change themselves, right? So the movie starts with a cop coming across a robot fixing itself. So he shoots it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it starts this whole thing about how there's like a handful of robots that are... They found a way to break the second protocol, which is supposed to be impossible. So mm-hmm. they're trying to find the clocksmith who's behind...
The clocksmith
who's behind the change of the protocol. They're trying to bring him... The corporation wants to bring him in. So Antonio Banderas is trying to find him. The cops are trying to find him too. And it's all like a really interesting setup, and the movie looks fantastic. Like mm-hmm. it looks great to watch. It's a great movie to look at from start to finish. But outside of that good setup, then it doesn't really explore it enough. It goes into a couple things here and there, like some side alleys that it tentatively explores, but it doesn't go all the way down the alley. We don't find out the conclusions. It's just a bunch of other. It's iRobot, Blade Runner, a little bit of Short Circuit.
All mixed together.
All mixed together in a way that in the end isn't anything.
It's kind of a jumbled mess.
It's kind of a jumbled mess. And while a lot of it looks great, there's other aspects of it that are like, you know, it's just been there, done that.
Yeah.
You know. It's an interesting movie to watch if you're into that kind of stuff. For sure, that kind of sci-fi. But it's not that great. Like, you really wouldn't want to watch it again, probably.
Okay. Yeah. Gotcha.
But still, it was something.
Yeah.
It was something.
It was something. Chris Crespo watched something.
Yeah, it was something. That was the It Was Something segment of the week. Do I have a theme song for that here? What do I got? So...
It was something.
Close enough. That was loud. All right, so here we go. Let's get into that box office recap of the week, Drew. I guess we're starting with what you just saw? What we just saw?
Are we... Do we have to talk about... I mean, we can...
Might as well check in on those numbers, see where it's at. Magic up by 3 points. Partway through the second quarter. That's the... 21, against the Pacers.
28 this week.
Number 28. Starting the top 5 of 28.
Inherent Vice made an extra $400,000 for a grand total of...
Dun.
7.4 million?
$7.4 whole million dollars.
Seriously?
No one saw this movie.
That's all that money's. That's all this movie's made?
That's all the money. That's why Drew, after what, 4 weeks? 3 weeks? 4 weeks? After only four
seven?
Weeks. After only 7 weeks, this movie's here in town is playing in one theater twice a day at the most. So, yeah. But Inherent Vice. Drew finally saw Inherent Vice.
Yes, I did.
So let's see. Tell people what you think of it.
I mean, it was it was a Paul Thomas Anderson movie, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
There was actually it was almost like Paul Thomas Anderson's doing like a stoner Zodiac of sorts. Like, there's no real murder going on, but there's
murder.
Mean, but still, there's a lot of information being thrown at you. And there's a lot of dialogue and, you know, Joaquin Phoenix being a stoner PI as opposed to an actual cop.
Yeah, kind of like a Big Lebowski type of thing.
Yeah, and it's nowhere near as, I would say, would be fun or fast as the trailers lead it to be.
Mm-mm.
But it's still a good movie. I mean, it's still, if you like Paul Thomas Anderson and you like the kind of movies that he does, then I think it, you know, I definitely think you'd enjoy it. If you don't, then you might be kind of bored with all the exposition.
It could be a tough sit for some people.
Yeah.
Some scenes get a little long.
Yeah, they do.
I noticed, this is my second time watching a movie. Didn't have too many occasions to rewatch movies this year, so that's kind of cool. I noticed 90% of Owen Wilson's dialogue is whispered.
He whispers like this.
He's always talking like this, yeah. Like other people are listening. Wow. And it's like, man. And these are long takes.
Yeah.
With lots of exposition. You're going to talk to the people the whole time like this. And then the music in the background is Mr. Greenwood.
Mm-hmm.
Doing all this like string, like, yeah. You know, not the upbeat movie that was marketed.
No.
But you still liked it.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
It had some really funny moments. It had some kind of crazy moments. It had, you know, there was a lot of stuff going on.
It's got some nudity.
A little bit of nudity.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
It's got it all.
It really does.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. I mean, I enjoyed it. Yeah.
There you go. Tristan Cockburn on Inherent Vice. So it's let's get what's the next one?
Coming at number 9 this week.
Oh, that doesn't sound good for whoever that is.
Mordecai.
Wow.
Had a weekend gross of $4.125 million, same as total budget of 60.
Mordecai. Starring Johnny Depp, Gwyneth Paltrow, Ewan McGregor, and you know that chick in Inherent Vice is Sam Watterson's daughter?
That's Sammy Watts?
Mm-hmm.
I just saw Sammy Watts' daughter butt-ass naked.
Mm-hmm. With a Merkin.
Yep.
I assume it was a Merkin. I mean, no one looks like that. No one rocks that these days.
Well,
and it was supposed to be the 70s.
It's the 70s, that's why.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
She's kind of hot.
Shout-outs to her Merkin wig wrangler. How'd he get that job?
I don't know.
Should check the credits and then see that person's name. Ms. Waterston's
Merkin wig wrangler.
And then, is Merkin wig redundant? That might be like the La Trattoria.
I don't know.
I think it's just Merkin Wrangler. Watterson's Merkin Wrangler.
And then you look Ms. Watterson's.
Ms. Watterson's. You also see it in the credits. Ms. Watterson's Merkin Wrangler. And you look up the person's name and then you Facebook them and hey, how'd you get that job? But then you finally get your first Merkin Wrangling job. And you find out it's for, like, Kathy Bates.
Oh.
And you're like, damn it. What, are we doing an About Schmidt sequel? This is terrible. This is terrible. This did not work out well.
Awful.
Mordecai. Comedy from the guy who wrote and or directed such comedies as Jurassic Park, Premium Rush, Spider-Man. This guy doesn't do comedies.
No.
And yet here we are.
In a comedy with Johnny Depp.
Well, a movie that should have been called something like The Delightful Misadventures of the Bumbling Mr. Mordecai or something like that.
Okay.
Would have set people up a little more for...
What kind of movie it is?
I guess you would call the movie... It's like a farcical comedy, sort of. It's because of a bit of a farce.
Okay.
Yeah, get this buggy out of here. It's my beer. It's stupid.
Bug likes your beer, dude.
This movie makes me want to drink.
One of those kind of movies.
It was. I chuckled maybe once or twice. It's about a. Johnny Depp is this Mordecai dude who's an art dealer, and he's on the verge of bankruptcy. And then some painting gets stolen, so like the MI5 tries to enlist them to help. What is going on? There's some other people want it, and he wants it because it's going to make him some money. And Paul Bettany's his manservant, who always beats people up, and his name is either Jacques or Jock. His name might be Jock. I've been meaning to look it up because he keeps calling him that. But I also think it might be Jacques. And that's just with his accent work there.
Okay.
And it's just not very good. It's just not... It's... And you know what? It's an R-rated comedy, and it's barely R. It's like they say fuck twice, and I think someone gets shot once. It feels like if they wanted to make an adult comedy,
They should have gone all out.
They should have gone all out and said, "What's this? This feels like a PG-13 comedy with just a couple of things thrown here." It just it was just not very good.
It happens.
Unfortunately, it does. And that was the big movie that came out this weekend, and people could tell right away that this thing looked like a stinker. That's why it only made how much money this weekend again?
$4 million.
Four. Ooh, boy. Ooh, doggy. Johnny Depp's fine. He's a multimillionaire. He's about to get paid another $50 million to do Pirates 5. He doesn't care.
Good for him.
He's past caring.
Yeah.
He's reached Mar-
He cares not. He Marlon Brando.
Marlon Brando.
We talked about that last time.
He has Marlon Brando disease. So.
Coming to number five.
Oh, wait. I'm sorry. I would say don't go see this movie in theaters. And according to the Rotten Tomatoes, out of 59 reviews, that's 12% are positive. It says aggressively strange and willfully unfunny. That's a weird way to put it. The misguided Mordecai sounds a frightfully low note in Johnny Depp's post-Pirates filmography. Okay, thank you.
Coming to number five this week, Taken 2. We can gross $7.6 million. Total of 76.
Wow. 48. Wow, good for Taken 2. This probably gets about $85, $90 million. Won't get to 100, but it doesn't need to because it didn't cost that much for him to make.
So when's Taken 4 coming out?
So after Taken 3 came out, Liam Neeson did like some interview somewhere where he said there are too many guns in America and, you know, they're too gun happy in America, blah, blah. So the company that like supplies guns to the Taken movies, so whatever company does that, they put out this thing, you know, like because of Liam Neeson's statements against the Second Amendment and gun owners, etc., we are no longer going to supply our munitions to any more Taken movies, and we encourage other companies of our ilk to do the same, to boycott Liam Neeson movies, which is really funny.
So no more Taken movies, awesome. No, that's fine. I never saw the third one, don't care to.
Someone will give them the guns.
Coming to number four this week, The Wedding Ringer made an additional $11.6 million, total of 39 and change on a budget of 23.
Yeah, 39 on 23, and around $60 million. Not too bad for Kevin Hart. Probably won a little bit more right along, opened up to like 40-something million last year, but that was Kevin Hart and Ice Cube.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the guy from the Coors Light commercials. You know, how can people want to go see that?
Coming to number three this week, Paddington made an additional 12.5-ish million, total of 40 and change, budget of unlisted.
The bug landed in my beer when I wasn't looking.
Drink it.
No, I fished it out.
Drink him.
The cat sticking it off the floor.
Drink him. Coming at number two this week.
Wait, what'd you say? I wasn't listening.
The Boy Next Door.
Oh, yeah, The Boy Next Door. I wanted to look up the Rotten Tomato thing on that one.
Weekend gross of $15 million.
That was the last one? Which one was that one?
Budget of 4.
Which number was that one?
Number 2.
What was number 3?
Paddington.
Boy Next Door, 13%. Oh, son of a bitch. Wedding Ringer, 33%. Boy Next Door, 13% out of 80 reviews. 13% of their positive. Average rating, 3.4 out of 10. Let's see what they say. The Boy Next Door may get a few howls out of fans of stalker thrillers, but for most viewers, it won't even rise to so bad it's good status. And that's a shame, because a movie like that looks like it has to go, you know, Jennifer Lopez is the hot 40-year-old teacher, 19-year-old boy next door moves in, things get bad.
Right? They bang, he goes crazy.
Fatal Attraction.
Type deal.
In reverse. Right? It should have been over the top crazy.
Yeah, seriously.
Right?
Gus style.
Oh, that would be like a whole other level. Now
that's
you're
what I'm saying.
That's interesting. I can make that movie.
Do it.
I'll make that happen.
Coming to number one this week, American Snipper made an additional $64 million. Total of 200 and change. God, budget of 58.
How's that? How's that possible? It's on its way to being maybe the third highest grossing film of 2014. Even though it's making most of its money in 2015.
Well, like you said, though, it's a 2014 movie. You know, it could be construed as one of those hoorah go American movies.
Hoorah! Apparently go America.
In which case, that's why it's making so much goddamn money.
Part of the reason why it's making so much money. Yeah. There's all the buzz behind it now. People are talking about it. It's all over the place. Saw a New York Post article about how Hollywood leftists hate America and they hate movies like American Sniper, etc. New York Post is such a fucking rag. They are the worst. One of the worst. Up there with the worst, New York Post. If you're listening to New York Post, put this on the front cover of your newspaper. You suck. So says Chris Crespo.
Chris Crespo says we suck.
That's an alternative headline. Or no, that's a sub-headline. You suck, says Chris Crespo in big, bold, white letters. And underneath that, in smaller white letters, Chris Crespo says we suck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Known Orlando podcaster Christopher Crespo has stated on episode 107 of Cinema Crespo Diso that we, the New York Post, suck.
Primo suckitude. And then there'll be a little another box in the corner that says Chris Crespo seeking Ms. Watterson's American Wrangler for questioning.
Also, question, in Inherent Vice, what was with that scene with Josh Brolin eating the frozen chocolate-covered banana?
He was enjoying that banana.
He deep-throated it twice.
It was an accident.
I know it was an accident because he choked.
He gagged on it. I don't know why he took it so far.
And then
the way he just stares at him.
The look on Joaquin Phoenix's face, he's like...
It's like he's watching an animal.
Yeah.
And he's totally oblivious. He's just eating and enjoying
it.
Yeah.
Yep. It was weird.
Good times. Good times there for sure. New movies coming out on DVD this week. We have The Book of Life, animated film.
Yeah. That's a good one.
It was a pretty good one, yeah.
I enjoyed it.
It definitely had some cool things for it. Visually, it's pretty crazy. Fury is out on DVD.
More as hell.
So, yeah, go ahead and watch that and then have your own little mini PTSD.
Sweet.
And The Judge with Robert Downey Jr. and Judge Robert Duvall.
Looked awful.
That's out on the DVD this week, so all you guys can enjoy those. Drew, what's come out in the theaters?
Coming out in theaters, The Loft.
The Loft, yes. The Loft.
Finally.
Looks like, so what is it? Three dudes know a chick who dies, and somehow they're all apparently...
Something
blamed for it. It's
maybe
it looks like they're definitely going for some sort of Hitchcock type thing there.
Yeah, definitely.
Which could be fun. A Hitchcockian type thriller, B movie type thing.
Yeah.
You know? With a bunch of movie stars looking pretty.
And like, if it has
like being all like who done it?
If it has an awesome soundtrack, the poster makes it look like it could be of the Guest or a Drive type.
Because that's got
deals.
The fuchsia look to it, the neonish. Uh-huh. Yeah, probably. Yeah. Now you're asking too much.
I am. Also coming out, new Kevin Costner movie, Black or White.
Thank God for more Kevin Costner.
Need that Costner.
Between this and McFarlane USA, I think I'm going to have just enough Kevin Costner.
Yeah, so here's my question. What did he do wrong? Because he's doing some press pieces right here. I love black people and I love brown people.
Well,
movies.
In the trailer for Black or White, someone asked him like, do you hate black people? And he's like, not all of them, right? Mm-hmm. And everyone's like, oh. Octavia Spencer's like, oh.
Also coming out, new Jason Statham movie, Wild Card.
Oh, yeah? I wonder what the hell that is.
It's probably going to be awful.
I guess, every January, February, there is... Every other January, February, you got to put out a Jason Statham-type movie, like The Mechanic or Parker. Both of them awful.
And last, but certainly not least...
Surely awful.
Project Almanac.
Project Almanac comes out.
Time-traveling teenagers.
Remember in the trailer and in the commercials, they're all like... they're looking at news footage on a computer and they're like, oh no, we did something and now shit's going bad. Uh-huh. And there's footage of a plane crashing. That's actual footage of a real plane crash, a military plane.
Nice.
And some people like sued or they claimed that their loved ones were on that plane and that shit was used. It was offensive that they used that footage. Uh-huh. And then the filmmakers were like, no, this is different footage. It's from a military thing. And then the producers and like Michael Bay and Platinum Dunes, they're just like, whoa, no, we're just nipping this one in the bud. They cut that part out of the movie a week before. This happened like a week ago. This movie's coming out on Friday.
Yeah.
They cut the shit out of the movie. And apparently Michael Bay was like, he really stayed like, oh, what? We thought they would just go the CG route with that part.
Weird.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty crazy. But still, I'll go see it. Plane crash or not. It's a little itty-bitty moment in the movie. Anyway, not like it really matters, right?
Correct.
Anything else coming out in theaters?
Well, that's it.
No, that's it. All right, then. I'm out of here. How do you like that? Well, we're going to take a quick break here. I got a song for you guys. This is from something that is coming out in about a week or so, a week and a half.
You got the early scoop?
Well, there's like a single was released ahead of time. John Carpenter did, you know, he does all of his own movie scores. And he's got that synthy sound, very particular sound for like Escape from New York, Halloween. They all have, you know, the thing. They all, even the, you know, I think it was Neil Marcone. They all have a particular sound to them, right?
Yes.
Apparently, he had a whole bunch of music that's like, it sounds like it could be for his movies, but they're not. They're not associated with any films.
Okay, so him just fucking around.
Him just kind of, you know, come up with other stuff. So they put it all together, and it's coming out on February 3rd. It's called Lost Themes. And it sounds like, and they put out one song called Vortex ahead of time, like the single. It's a Wet Appetites. Mm-hmm. And it just sounds straight up like Escape from Cleveland.
Sweet.
Yeah.
I still want to see that movie.
It's pretty sweet. So here we go, guys. Check this out. Get ready for some sweet John Carpenter down the road. I got that on pre-order. I'm getting it, so. You'll hear more of it on this show in the next few weeks. So enjoy this song now. We'll be back with the second half of the show. Got a whole lot to talk about. So, all right, here we go. We'll be right back.
What's up? It's your boy Stone the Terrible.
It's your boy, the Black David Hasselhoff from Forget That Yo Radio. You are now listening to Cinema Crespo Diso,
the number one show for movie reviews. Now back to the show.
Welcome to the Crespo Show.
Welcome to the second half of episode 107 of Cinema Crespo Diso. The Magic are up by about 9, it looks like, in the fourth quarter, partway through the fourth against Indiana. Going to break that losing streak. Good job, Orlando Magic. Welcome to the show. We're having a good time. Drew, how you doing?
Doing. How you doing?
I'm doing.
Okay, good. Glad we got that out of the way.
Finally, got that out of the way. Plugs. Let's get them plugs going. ChrisCrespo.com. Cinema Crespo Diso. Rate us. Review us on iTunes. We appreciate it. Check us out on Stitcher. If that's the way you get down, that's how you get down. We understand. Netflix Picks of the Week. We already talked about that. Reviews on ChrisCrespo.com. I'm going to have a Mordecai review up there pretty soon. I don't know. What's there? That's one of those reviews where it's like, what the hell is there for me to say about this thing?
This thing was crap. Don't watch it.
This thing was kind of crappy. It's not all that funny.
There you go. There's your review. You don't have to write one now.
Website needs content. Website needs content, Drew. Almost lost my headphones.
Adjectives.
Adjectives, adjectives. Someone give me a thesaurus for Christmas. Did we just pass Christmas?
Yes.
Damn it. Now I have to wait a year for the source. If only those were free in app form somehow for my phone. Twitter, at Crespo Diso. Hit me up. I am Chris Crespo on Twitter. That's the Twitter handle. I am Chris Crespo. Drew, where can people find you online?
At Antihero419, all over the internet.
Do it, people. Do it. Antihero419. Here we go. What are we going to do? So many things to talk about, so many things to do. I guess we will start with the good old Billy D's Death in the Movie.
Hello, friends.
Hello, Billy.
This week, I was sick and laid up with the flu. Aww. I ordered some DVDs I had been interested in for some time and had a little film fest.
All right.
So this week's Death at the Movies is brought to you by an import copy of Among the Living, a French film by the early masters of the French New Wave of extreme horror, Bastillo and Maury.
Ah, yes. Bastillo and Maury.
They have made a career out of taking American genre styles and They have made a career out of taking American genre styles and breaking them down with inside a slasher film and Livid, a haunted house movie. Wait, what?
He said he was sick. Read it again. Maybe he was like,
Thermoflu. They have made a career out of taking American genre styles and breaking them down with inside. That's the name of the movie. It's a slasher film, and Livid, a haunted house movie. There we go.
We could use some quotation marks or something in there.
This time, they take aim at the cannibal family in an abandoned X subgenre of horror.
Did you say cannibal family?
Cannibal family. And provide one of the most unflinching and disturbing takes on the Texas Chainsaw Massacre since Frontiers. Sure, it's derivative, but it's insanely well-made, acted, fast-paced, and relentless. We should only be so lucky to get such good quality horror in the States. This closes the American trilogy for Bastillo and Maury. I'm excited to see where they go next. Stay cool, Billy D.
There you go, some French horror. Billy is a fan of that extreme French horror.
He really does love the horror movies.
And that French stuff, too, gets kind of crazy. Kind of intense. Like, what's that one? High Tension, you ever see that one? Tension. What's the one that Billy really likes? Martyrs?
Nope.
He loves that one.
Don't think I saw that.
Apparently it's supposed to be a brutal, brutal movie.
Billy likes brutal.
Where do we want to go next with this one? I guess go ahead and read the email that you got there.
I got an email from @RageAgainstTwit on Twitter.
What's up, homeboy?
brought up some things, I guess, for us to discuss.
Okay.
Amazon to produce theatrical feature films.
Yeah, you know.
As according to comingsoon.net.
Amazon has that hit with Transparent, the series Transparent, which I read recently that they outbid Netflix for it.
Oh, wow.
And it won Golden Globes and stuff, so, you know, awards. But, you know, the success of that, they saw, hey, you know, this is easy. That's pretty easy. We can do this with movies.
Let's do some more.
Let's do some more. So they're going to start trying to do some feature-length films. I don't know. I think they plan on having some theatrically released movies, and then obviously they'd be available on the Amazon, like, on-demand type stuff.
Interesting.
Yeah, pretty intense. Amazon getting into the movie producing, distributing game. Good luck, guys. That's a money pit.
Interview for The Low. Also, was this a hit for The Interview, or is The Interview a hit? Wait, Sony lost how much money on The Interview?
Well, first off, that first one was about how... at the time of that article, it was about how Netflix was working on an exclusive deal to stream The Interview of some sort of exclusive deal. By the time, you know, we're doing the show, it's done. It's on the Netflix. It came out yesterday on a Saturday.
Yep, saw it, watched it.
And we saw it, we watched it. So let's talk about The Interview. What did you think of The Interview?
It was what it was. Yeah. It was, I mean, in all reality, pretty much saw the entire movie in the trailer.
It did give away quite a bit in the trailer. Quite a bit.
I mean, the entire movie, pretty much saw the trailer.
Yeah.
So, I mean, other than that, it was Franco being weird. It was Seth Rogen. Being Seth Rogen. There were dick jokes and men kissing and things being stuck in people's asses.
It was very much their humor.
Yeah.
Their type of movies.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
But did you like it, though?
You know, it was missing that...
Je ne sais quoi?
I think that X factor. I think...
Is that what je ne sais quoi means?
I think that Rogan and Franco are good in movies together.
Mm-hmm.
But when they get their friends to also help out, or even, you know, give me a little bit of Dave Franco in this movie.
Dave Franco at?
Give me a little bit of somebody else, you know.
Give me a little bit of Zach Galifianakis.
These two guys are funny, and I appreciate what they do, but without some sort of X factor, I find myself just kind of being like,
Oh, really? Yeah. A little flat for you?
Yeah.
I thought it was funny enough. I liked it.
I'll tell you what, I'd have been pissed off if I'd have saw it in theaters.
Really?
I'd have been angry.
Angry? It would have angered you? I would have thought it was okay in theaters.
I would have been disappointed. How about that?
It's definitely fine to watch at home on streaming like that on Netflix. Just pull up the Netflix and put it on and kill an hour and 40 minutes or so.
Yep.
You know? This is the end is better, I'll say. Even something like Pineapple Express is better.
Yeah, yeah.
Not their best output, but still, I wouldn't say it was like bad. Well, yeah, they did give away quite a bit in those trailers.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, so that's pretty annoying there. But but then also, you know, now you got to think, you know, it really didn't come out in theaters. It played in one theater here, like on the other side of town, like kind of a shitty part of town too. So you really don't want to go there. And you know, instead of coming out in 3,000 theaters, it came out in 300 theaters. And there's precedent there for that movie to have opened up somewhere between $15 and $20 million, and it could have grossed anywhere between 60 and 80, probably, box office-wise. Instead, they're reporting that it made about 30, 35 million, something like that, with the online sales, and then like 7 million in theaters because of the very small run. So they're looking at maybe Sony might have lost like, I don't know, $30 to $50 million. Mostly, they pretty much lost the money they put into marketing it.
Yeah.
They lost. But, you know.
Oh, well.
It'll make money over the long run.
It's the cost of business, man.
It's the cost of business. When it comes down, you know, pretty much it will be out on DVD really soon, Redbox and stuff. It'll make its money back eventually in the long run. Yeah. But, not a moneymaker this time around. Breaking the streak there for Rogan and Goldberg, who had a bunch of winners. Now they have a loser. What are you going to do? How are they going to bounce back? What are you
going to
do?
And last but certainly not least, Chris.
What are you going to do?
Sadness.
Sadness.
X-Men Apocalypse.
Hello, sadness, my old friend.
Patrick Stewart and Ian McKellen will not be back.
Yeah, they won't be back.
Which is a shame.
It's a bit of a shame.
Obviously, Sir Pat Stew and Gandalf.
Obviously, they're great in those roles, and it's a bit of a shame that they won't be back. But this movie, X-Men Apocalypse, is going to take place in the 80s.
Okay.
So how can these old guys...
Yeah, they'd have to young them up.
They got
to
young them up. And James McAvoy, Michael Fassbender.
Uh-huh.
They're still... So those. There's your Magneto, those guys.
I'm okay with that.
But they're bringing back some other characters... from the other X-Men movies.
Okay.
But they're going to be younger versions of these characters, yes. Right? Namely, we're bringing back Storm.
Okay.
Cyclops. And Jean Grey. And Jean Grey.
Okay.
But they're not going to be played by...
James Marsden.
Or Halle Berry or Famke Johnson.
Okay.
Instead, we have, as Storm, Alexandra Shipp.
Do you have a picture? Do I know this person?
No, you don't. You don't know any of these people.
Okay.
You may know Sophie Turner because she's on Game of Thrones. Random chick. I don't know. She'll be Jean Grey. And Ty Sheridan. The oldest kid from the Tree of Life. Oh, snap. Here we go. So the kid who plays the older kid... who's now even older now.
Uh-huh.
It's been 5 or 6 years since Tree of Life came out. He's going to be Cyclops.
Interesting.
Yeah. So we got some new people playing some old characters.
Fresh faces.
Meanwhile, coming back, James McAvoy, Michael Fassbender, Jennifer Lawrence, Nicholas Holt, and Hugh Jackman is in talks to return as Wolverine. But, you know, he's Hugh Jackman. He'll be back.
Always is.
He's the most popular one anyway. I'll have a little bit
the
more.
The problem... with artificial intelligence.
It's way too unpredictable. Way too unpredictable.
Exactly.
I'm looking forward to seeing him in a movie with his normal Australian accent. I just saw a thing where... who was it? I think it was Christian Bale. Was saying after Batman Begins, after shooting the movie and then doing... he did the whole Batman Begins press tour,
yeah,
with his American accent. Because he didn't want people to be confused as to why their American superheroes being played by an English guy.
Uh-huh.
Or a Welshman, I should say.
How about Moses being played by a Welshman?
Years later. This is way, way back in, what, 03? You know, a simpler time, 2003. He had to fight to keep his Welsh accent. He was losing it.
Oh, yeah.
He was starting to talk in the American accent permanently. It was becoming part of him.
Too much America talk.
Too much of that America talk. He was walking around going, guns in the Bible. America. I actually like this country. Look up what Bill Hicks said on patriotism and then get back to me. 30 years ago, Drew.
30.
1985.
Yes.
1985. Mm-hmm. I have here the top grossing movies of 1985.
Okay.
I'm going to give you two of them. You tell me which one made more dough.
All right.
For example, which made more money? Back to the Future or Rambo: First Blood Part 2. Here's a hint. These are the number one and number two movies of 1985.
I'm going to go with Back to the Future made more.
Back to the Future made $210 million in 1985. God damn, that's a lot of money. Rambo made $150 million, so that is correct.
Well, because Rambo's rated R, isn't it?
It is rated R. That is correct.
That's why.
That is correct. Yes.
That's why.
Very good. Very good. Here we go. Which made more money? Came out in 1985. The Goonies or Police Academy 2, Their First Assignment.
Goonies.
The Goonies made $61 million. Police Academy 2, $55 million. That is correct. Good job. Which made more? Spies Like Us, Chevy Chase, Dan Aykroyd film, or Rocky IV?
Rocky IV.
Spies Like Us made $60 million. Rocky IV, $127 million. Number three grossing movie of 1985. Sylvester Stallone, number two, number three highest grossing films of 1985. Man was on top of the world. Which made more, Drew? I'm going to give you a couple of Chevy Chase movies. You ready? Fletch or European Vacation?
European Vacation.
European Vacation made $49 million. Fletch made $50 million. Mm. Ooh, that was a close one. Ooh, how about this one, Drew? Which made more? Mel Gibson versus Arnold Schwarzenegger. Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome or Commando?
Mad Max.
Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome, $36 million. Commando, $35
million.
Nice. Good job. Good job. Okay. So far, 4 out of 5. Here we go. Which made more? A Nightmare on Elm Street 2, : Freddy's Revenge, or Teen Wolf?
Teen Wolf.
Teen Wolf, $33 million. Nightmare on Elm Street 2, $29 million. Nice work. There you go. Which made more? The Breakfast Club or Pee-wee's Big Adventure?
Breakfast Club.
Breakfast Club made $45 million. Pee-wee's Big Adventure made $40 million. Good job. Here we go.
Man, a lot of good movies came out in 85.
1985 was a good year for movies. All right, how about this? Which made more money in 1985 at the U.S. box office? Cocoon or The Color Purple?
Color Purple.
Color Purple, $94 million. Cocoon, $76 million. Well, we got 7 rights out of 8. Which made more money? The James Bond film, A View to a Kill, or the Clint Eastwood Western, Pale Rider?
Bond.
Bond made $50 million. Pale Rider, $41 million. And that's correct. Finally, last one. Here we go. Which made more moolah at the BO? Frizzy's Honor or Desperately Seeking Susan?
Susan.
Frizzy's Honor made $26.6 million. Desperately Seeking Susan made $27 million. So Drew got 9 out of 10. He knows which movies made more money in 1985. Don't front with him on that, people.
Motherfucker.
Don't even attempt to try. Oh, we're all tied up with only a couple minutes left to go. Might have ruined that one. Might have jinxed it.
Good job, Chris.
So we got some new people playing old roles for X-Men Apocalypse, mm-hmm. which is going to be the end of the trilogy that started with First Class. It goes First Class, Days of the Future Past,
Apocalypse.
Apocalypse. Playing Apocalypse is Oscar Isaac, he of now Star Wars.
Yes.
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
X-Men.
Uh-huh.
And, Coen Brothers and Cy Llewyn Davis. Those three movies go together, right?
Yeah, so does A Most Violent Year.
A Most Violent Year from the director of All Is Lost.
All Is Lost.
We got some costume details from Oscar Isaac regarding how he's going to be Apocalypse.
Mm-hmm.
He told Yahoo UK, it'll be a mix of practical and digital. I haven't had a script, so I haven't had a chance to look through the script and see what the exact requirements are, but I think it'll be a mixture of physical aided with some robotic technology.
Of course. Yeah.
And then he talks about how he's going to do a head plaster cast, mm-hmm. so then they can try to work out how they're going to do everything without having him to sit in a room for hours and hours on end.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm looking forward to it. I want to see what the whole Apocalypse thing is going to be like, man.
I mean, I know...
Oh, excuse me. Didn't mean to bore
you
so much.
I know
much.
What it looks
oh,
like
sir,
in, you know, comic book lore. I don't know what the hell they're going to do with them. I mean, they made Josh Brolin into Thanos, which looks fucking strange.
Yeah, but Brolin has a big square head.
He does.
He's got a big square head. Oscar Isaac's a small guy.
Yep.
Smaller dude. Apocalypse always looks like a big guy.
Giant.
Literally.
Yep, big guy. Not even necessarily a guy, but... Big, yes.
Big thing.
Uh-huh.
Big. Yeah. So how are they going to work that out?
We'll see.
Force perspective. Is it going to look weird like Xerxes in 300?
Probably.
Where he's green screened in.
Uh-huh.
with the rest of them. That was it from Rage Against. Yeah, because he finished up with the X-Men stuff. Hitting us up on Facebook over here. Wanted to point this out real quick. Just have to, you know, if I was prepared, I'd have it pulled up already or printed out.
It's a good thing you're not.
Yeah, because people really like this part. Justin Davis hit us up on Facebook. He writes, "Finally saw The Guest. So glad you recommended it. Kept me guessing the entire time and left me with one of the best closing lines to a film I've seen in a while. What the fuck indeed?"
Exactly.
So there you go. More people every week now. That's our new weekly segment.
Who likes The Guest?
People chime in and saying, "Hey, we saw The Guest. Thank you for talking about this months ago."
It's a good movie.
It's a good movie. Now going into Oscar season, the movie to follow that up with is Whiplash.
So good.
That's the next one that I expect people to start hitting me up
and be like, "Oh my god, Whiplash! I can't believe!
This is so crazy! It's so crazy!
It is!"
And it's just about a dude playing drums.
Yep,
but it's so crazy.
It is crazy.
It's so good. So yeah, people, The Guest is on DVD. Check it out. Whiplash playing in a couple theaters. Let's check that one out before it comes out on DVD. And then you all come around and you're like, "Oh god, this movie's great!" And then Blue Ruin too. Have any of you seen Blue Ruin yet? You should really.
You should see that. It was well, yeah, 100%.
Really. Get on that, people. My mom sent me an article.
Okay.
22 movies Roger Ebert really hated. This is on Mental Floss.
Okay.
Some of these are obvious. Like, duh. Thanks, Rog. We get it. And some of them are like, "What? Really?" And then some of them are like, "Well, I mean, what the fuck? Why are you even bothering reviewing these movies?"
Well, he's dead, so.
Well, he's dead now, so, I mean, he can't answer for himself. He let cancer kill him after years of struggling. Good job, Roger. Way to go out.
Dick.
Dickhead. Fucking pussy. Anyway. Roger Ebert, arguably most famous film critic ever.
Mm-hmm.
Probably to be ever. Armageddon. Gave it 1 star.
Yeah.
We know some people who love this movie. SBK loves it.
Good for him.
Roger Ebert wrote, "The movie is an assault on the eyes, the ears, the brain, common sense, and the human desire to be entertained."
Nice.
Ebert did have a way with words sometimes. He gave 0 stars to The Brown Bunny. Did you ever see that one?
Nope.
That's the Vincent Gallo movie where he's driving through the desert. It's 1.5 hours of him driving through the desert. Nothing happens. Then at the end, he meets up with Chloe Savini and she blows him.
Okay.
Roger Ebert wrote, "In terms of The Brown Bunny, I had a colonoscopy once, and they let me watch it on TV. It was more entertaining than The Brown Bunny." Oh, this is funny, too. When the movie's director, Vincent Gallo, did Ebert's weight, Ebert said, "It is true that I am fat, but one day I will be thin, and he will still be the director of The Brown Bunny."
Mm-hmm.
Jason X, 0.5 star.
Yeah.
"This sucks on so many levels. Jason X sucks on the levels of storytelling, character development, suspense, special effects, originality, punctuation, neatness, and aptness of thought." Mad Dog Time? See, what the hell is that?
Nope, don't know.
I gave that 0 stars.
No clue.
"The Usual Suspects, 1.5.
Really?
Once again, my comprehension began to slip, and finally I wrote down, 'To the degree that I do not understand, I don't care.' It was just that there was less to understand than the movie at first suggests." He gave 0 stars to the Deuce Bigalow sequel.
I could see that.
Not even the original. It's a sequel. I mean, come on. Of course it sucks. Mr. Magoo, 0.5 star. Duh. Spice World, 0.5 star. Duh. This is kind of cold here. "The Spice Girls could be duplicated by any 5 women under the age of 30 standing in line at Dunkin' Donuts."
With fake tits, yes.
My headphones jumped off my head. You see that? Sure. You know Good Luck Chuck?
Vaguely.
That's the Ryan Reynolds one with Jessica Alba.
Okay.
He wrote, there is a word for this movie, and that word is ick."
Nice.
Apparently he felt it icky. Freddy Got Fingered, 0 stars. Corky Romano, 0.5 star. I think it deserves more than that.
I don't.
At least 1 star.
Nope.
Corky Romano, yeah. It gets at least 1 star.
Disagree.
He gave Charlie's Angels, 0.5 star.
I could see that.
Says Charlie's Angels is like the trailer for a video game movie, lacking only the video game and the movie. Mannequin, he gave half a star. Exit to Eden, half a star. I'm sorry, but I just don't get Rosie O'Donnell. Hocus Pocus, he gave 1 star, which that surprises a lot of people. A lot of people love that Hocus Pocus. Let me rephrase that. A lot of women love Hocus Pocus.
Yeah.
Tommy Boy, 1 star. No one is funny in Tommy Boy. There are no memorable lines. None of the characters are interesting except for an enigmatic figure played by Rob Lowe, who seems to have wandered over from Hamlet. He gave 1 star to The Village. 1 star to the Love Guru, Mike Myers' Love Guru. She's Out of Control, no stars. I don't know what that is. And Summer School, half star. You know that movie, Summer School? Remember
nope.
That one? You remember that one? Where all the kids take summer school? And that teacher gets stuck teaching summer school? And the whole thing is like he's one of the students. He doesn't want to be there.
Nope.
Clifford, half star with Martin Short. It's not bad in any usual way. It's bad in a new way all its own.
Nice. That awful.
There is something extraterrestrial about it, as if it's based on the sense of humor of an alien race with a completely different relationship to the physical universe. This movie is so odd, it's almost worth seeing just because we'll never see anything like it again, I hope. And he gave a movie called North 0 stars, which he wrote, I hated this movie. Hated this movie. Hated it. Hated every simpering, stupid, vacant, audience-insulting moment of it. Hated the sensibility that thought anyone would like it. Hated the implied insult to the audience by its belief that anyone would be entertained by it. Damn, wow. Roger.
Just had a bad day.
Yeah. That's the day he found out he had cancer. It's like, damn it, I got cancer.
Fuck this movie.
And I have to watch this movie. Son of a bitch. Son of a bitch. All right, what we got here? What we got? A couple stories, and then we're out of here real quick. We talked about this Martin Scorsese movie before on the show, Silence.
Yeah.
He finally got the final funding that he needed to make sure that he can make it.
Okay.
So even someone like Martin Scorsese, depending on the movie, he still struggles to get the money he needs to make something. But this Variety article headline says right there, Martin Scorsese locks funding for Silence. And we got a couple of deets here on the story and what the movie's about. So let's see what we got. It's scheduled to start shooting in Taiwan at the end of this month with Liam Neeson, Andrew Garfield, and Adam Driver.
Nice.
It's based on a novel by the same name by Shusaku Endo. And it follows 17th century Portuguese Jesuits persecuted during their mission to Japan.
Interesting.
Scorsese said, I wanted to make Silence for almost 2 decades, and it's finally a reality. It's heartening to have adventurous partners like Fabrica and Sharp Sword to work with on this picture. Those are the people who gave him the money. Silence is set for a 2016 release, so next year. Andrew Garfield, Spider-Man, will be Father Rodriguez, a 17th century Portuguese Jesuit who travels to Japan with a fellow priest amid rumors that his mentor has abandoned the church. Probably Liam Neeson.
Yep.
When they arrive, they find the local Christian population driven underground by religious persecution. Neeson will play a priest who landed in Japan over a decade earlier and has gone missing. So he's the Colonel Kurtz priest character. So that sounds kind of interesting. Interesting, weird story. I can see why he'd have trouble getting funding for it.
Yeah.
Not a lot of people are going to be lining up to see the movie about Jesuit Christians being persecuted in 17th century Japan.
Yeah, I know, right?
Could be a prequel to Mogwai.
Ooh, I like.
Here we go. I gotta get a hold of.
You do.
Like, I know this is based on a book, but I got an idea. Marty, I got an idea. You know this guy. I don't think you've ever seen the other guy, though. But they're brothers. You know that guy.
Yes, I know that guy.
That's Mark Duplass, who's in the League and
some other stuff recently.
Maybe like in the last 4 years, 5 years, he's been like a quarter of everything that's been produced in some capacity. He's popping up everywhere, right? These guys are brothers, the Duplass brothers. They did the Puffy Chair a number of years ago. It was a super low budget movie, big hit at film festivals. That's what got their foot in the door. Then they made Cyrus with Jonah Hill.
Yeah.
Slightly bigger budget, but still, you know, small movie, but got successful. And since then, they've just been fucking cranking out work. Wherever they can get it. They got a show coming out on HBO, that Togetherness show.
Yeah.
Have you seen those commercials?
Yes,
that looks pretty good. I'm actually looking forward to seeing that. Did you ever see Jeff Who Lives at Home? That Jason Segel movie? I thought that one was okay. It was pretty good. It was on the Netflix for a while, but I don't think it's on there anymore. Speaking of Netflix, they signed a 4-film deal with Netflix.
Okay, well, there you go.
So just like Amazon getting into the movie business,
Netflix is getting into it too.
Netflix is doing it too. They've been trying for years, though. Netflix, for a little while, they had their own production company called Red Envelope. You guys remember the Red Envelopes?
Yes.
Right? And they had their own thing called Red Envelope Productions, and they put out a couple movies and didn't do anything, and they had since closed that little offshoot that they came up with. So let's see here. The Duplass brothers have signed a deal with Netflix to produce 4 movies that will be distributed on Netflix after a short theatrical release window. So the movies will play in theaters, but for a short amount of time, then they go straight to Netflix. Let's see here. Anything of interest in this article? I probably should have read it ahead of time. Oh, you know what? I mean, this isn't their first foray, though, because they haven't done anything yet. But remember, I think it was last year, Netflix signed a deal with Adam Sandler to produce some of his movies. So they're going to have a bunch of Adam Sandler movies, a bunch of Duplass Brothers movies.
They're doing comedy.
And they worked out a deal with the Weinstein Company to produce the Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon sequel, which I would have dismissed as like some stupid cash grab, except for the fact that it's being directed by Master Yu Lumping, who did the choreography, the fight choreography for Crouching Tiger, as well as the Matrix and Kill Bill movies, and he's a great director in his own right. So I actually want to see the goddamn movie, Crouching Tiger and Dragon. That's coming out in August this year, by the way. Duplass Brothers, they have a movie that just premiered at the Sundance Film Festival called The Bronze, which is a sex comedy. And Togetherness is getting ready to start on HBO. So they've worked on both of those together. These guys, they like to work, man. They like to work. Good for them. Mark Duplass said in an interview, "My first movie made a grand total of $220,000 in theaters. But about 5 million people have seen it on Netflix because they can click on it and try it out. Yep. So I really recommend get your goddamn movie on Netflix. It made my career."
Oh, there we go.
His brother Jay is on that Amazon show, Transparent.
Okay.
So there's a little bit of crossover there in terms of what we were talking about. And then they go on to talk about the Amazon deal with making movies and stuff. So yeah, that's the future, man. It's all gonna be. It's like
streaming.
You know, Yahoo has been making a couple of series now. Like Burning Love was pretty popular a year and a half, 2 years ago. Their spoof of what kind of shows of like The Bachelor, Bachelor type shows, and they have other things coming out. Actually, Community, isn't that on Yahoo now?
Is it?
I think so. I think the final season of Community is going to be on Yahoo.
Interesting.
Yahoo Screen is what they call it. Hulu, Crackle's owned by Sony. What else is there? There's another one, isn't there? I wouldn't be surprised if Amazon, they used the Fire, Amazon Fire, to get in on the as their platform, so to speak, for their product. That's just the way it is now, man. Who needs centralized TV? Now it's all a la carte.
Yeah.
Which is a pain in the ass.
It is.
And now I have to pay for all these different services. $10 here, $15 there, $10 there. It all adds up.
You can cut the cable, though.
Can I?
It's up to you.
Is it up to me? Is it up to me? Really? Hold on, let's cut that cable.
All right, cut.
All right. Consider it cut. Wait, is the HBO Go subscription thing up yet?
Yes.
You can get it. You can subscribe to HBO Go? Cut that cable. Who needs sports?
Not me.
And you go to Smoky Bones. Smoky Bones, they play baseball games all the time at Smoky Bones. Just got to find a Smoky Bones.
You can go somewhere else for your Magic games.
Got to go somewhere else. I can go to the Amway Center. I hear they have Magic games over there.
I hear too. Yeah.
All right. Well, hey, there we go. That brings us to the end of episode 107. We are all done. Thank you, sir.
You're very welcome.
We appreciate
I'm kind of sleepy.
Drew's kind of sleepy. I'm almost done with my St. Bernardus. Might as well. I'm going to have to start cracking open some other beers to do some editing and some writing and some updating and some uploading and some sharing. And so people don't care about that stuff. That stuff's all done. By the time you're hearing this, that means I've done all that. It's over. I need to give them something new.
On to the next one, Chris.
Best stuff coming out on Wednesday. Episode 108 coming up this weekend, Super Bowl weekend.
Yep.
We should be having Angel Rivera on the show. Now that I just jinxed it, that might not happen.
Sweet.
But hopefully he'll be here. And then we're into February. Wonderful, wonderful February.
Hooray.
Hooray for us. Hooray for you.
Boo.
We're in a Superman shirt. You feeling super?
Feeling super tired.
You're wearing a blue Superman emblem. Is that Cyborg Superman? No, that's Electric Fist Superman, Last Son of Krypton.
Sure.
No, that's Superboy. Clone. You're Clone Boy.
Okay.
You're the one wearing a shirt, you tell me.
It's Superman shirt, dude. That's all it is.
I don't like your explanation. I don't like your tone.
Don't care.
I don't like your tone of voice, young man.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Thank you for being on the show. We appreciate it. He puts his headphones down. And he's walking away. He's... Pick up your pants. What's wrong with this guy? Who do you think you are? You know, this were Daytona, they'd arrest you. Because they have laws about sagging pants in Daytona. Because they're very forward-thinking over there. Because that's not racist at all. I bet you it is. Totally racist. So there we go. We're at the end of the show. To recap, Netflix pick of the week is Punch Drunk Love. Automata is kind of interesting, but not really. Eh, sort of worth your time. Box office recap, Mordecai stinks. Aaron Weiss, Drew liked it, so did I. Stoner Zodiac. New movies coming out on DVD, Book of Life, Fury, Judge, in theaters, Black or White, Project Almanac, The Loft, something with Jason Statham. We had a Crespo Disco, Vortex, John Carpenter, Lost Themes. We did some plugs, but these are the movies, some French horror. Justin Davis, saw the guest, thought it was awesome. Rage Against Twit, showed us some stories, we appreciate it. Roger Ebert hated movies as much as he loved them. Netflix, Amazon. Oh, all right, here we go. Okay, we're done. And the magic lost. God damn it. Totally jinxed it. That sucks. Hello. Oh,